today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar gave us about a year and a half, and I'm stunned.
I said, Mike, we'll know if this is working within 6 months. You
know? But I remember being excited because when Oscar gave us a year and a half, I thought he was going to leave us in a year and a half.
And all the peanut butter is now out of the house.
Oh, no.
Well, of course, because you ate it all.
Oh, call me Jabba, okay?
Speaking of calls, I thought, who else has gone through this similar situation with the Mike O'Mara Show, and how can I reach out to them and get some mentoring? So I thought, oh, I know who I'll call, and I tried to call, and I couldn't find Buzz anywhere. So
all that and more, the Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Man, how could you guys have ever thought it was a good idea to get rid of him? Anyway, we're from Washington, D.C. This is The Mike O'Mara Show, daily radio show and podcast. With a loyal legion of listeners who are part of our family and listen every day in every corner of, there he is, in every corner of the world.
There he is. Him.
This is TMOS.
Your friend.
Heard in great places like Claypool, Arizona, Afton, Wyoming, Sparks, Nevada, Toms River, New Jersey, Mankato, Minnesota. I know where Mankato is. And Barcelona, Spain. The Mike O'Mara Show is on right now, and we are joined by the man who probably didn't really care about us, but our listeners sure cared about him. And I feel like, well, I did something that a general manager at a radio station, as dude knows, would never do. You know, I listened to the listeners and said, yeah, let's go right back and fix that. Dude Walker joins us. Dude, that's an interesting shot. You've got good dude, good dad. You've got the Dude Walker logo that I've always loved, and there you are, and here you are. So it's good to have you on the show, dude. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. burnt toast and coffee time is what it is. How are you?
The late great David Haynes. Yes, sir. Burnt toast and coffee time.
What dude guys, has
thanks,
is like a
for
new.
Me in this morning.
Welcome,
Rob,
dude.
Do you think you might want to let dude?
Do you want to let him speak before you?
I let me just say, I heard the sound check that Rob was doing. I had to mute it. Rob's excited. Rob is a radiophile. Rob gets excited when
dude comes on. And you have benefited from my radiophilia for years.
Yeah, but you get manic. You get like super manic. Now, Mr. Walker, who we are going to
is a professional.
Defer to at every turn, you are going to say something. Yes, Mr. Walker.
And now I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. I do. I do want to say thanks for letting me in. You know what that means. No, hey, listen, guys, this has been a very interesting time for all of us. And I got to tell you how this happened for me. About 2 weeks ago, or whenever this all started, I was listening to the show. I usually don't watch. I listen while I'm doing other stuff.
Right.
And I hear Mike in the background going, blah, 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 welcome to the show. Blah, 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 blah. And today we're going to make some changes. Blah, 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 an announcer. And my little Scooby ears went,
okay.
Announcer, changes, okay. Announcer. I've been through this before. Let's listen. So I paid attention, and you said something about, I forget his name. He deserves a shot. And I'm thinking, okay, and what do I deserve? But I'll let it go. Let's just see how this plays out. And I was intrigued as to what was going on with the show for the last couple of weeks. And but then I thought, you know what? Oscar Santana told me years ago when I was very young.
Yes.
Play the long game. Play the long game. Don't come in with all your chips. You know, long game. So I let it go for a while. And
you are so humble. You didn't give a rat's ass. You didn't care at all. You know, let me just pull back the curtain here. Dude Walker has been doing this as a personal favor to all of us because we've all known each other for a very, very long time. And you didn't even give it a second thought. I didn't really think that in terms of that. What caught me by surprise was when we, I did what, oh my God, what program directors have done to me. And I said, hey, and I don't mind shaking things up and improving sound. I do it musically. I do it content-wise, the format of the show. I tweak all the time. But, you know, once in a while, you get something where you get this backlash immediately. Mm-hmm. And we kind of were scrambling with using, and his name is Mark Riddell, who puts together some very wonderful promos, and had kind of, I did what I have railed against. I have for years said, hire the professional to do these commercials. We would, the commercials would be better served. I've said that. And then I did the same thing. Not that Twitch doesn't do a great job on our promos, but we've got this voice that's been with us forever, back to the old Don and Mike show. And it didn't take long for me to, well, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have gone back and said, let's have a poll. I knew, we all three of us knew exactly what the poll would result in, because we were getting 50 a day of people saying, you know, bring back Duke. There was a movement. There was hashtag bring back Duke.
Yeah, there was a general general opinion online was this was a new Coke moment. And what happened is we replaced Coca-Cola. And they're like, dude, bring Dude back. Dude.
But dude, with that said, I have to tell you something that I loved the interest that it generated. And you know how that works, too, where you get something that's, oh, wow, this is a thing. And we put a poll up and all that. But truly, and this is the God's honest truth, and normally when a disc jockey or a radio person says that, you know he's got to lie. Amen. I'm not lying here.
Amen.
As soon as Rob played the element of you yesterday, on yesterday's show, it was just like, oh, wow.
Man, Mike, just to, like, for a reset, just listen to this, folks. You got. I mean, the fact is that even Dude, I think the new take on what he'd been playing.
You know,
for
when
years,
you're going to do that, Rob, when you're going to say, "Okay, listen to this," and then you don't know where it is. You know, I mean,
are you done showing off in front of the guest?
Well, yeah, I'm not showing off, but you're the one that like is directing the show now.
Listen to this, folks. Okay,
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I mean, come on.
As soon as I heard that, I it was just a moment. Gushed. I had my little moment of, oh wow. The hell was I thinking? Mm-hmm. It was a crazy. So we're delighted that you're here, that you agreed to come on the show today. And I know I'm here to have you.
Yeah, it was kind of even for Mike to call you and ask you back. Let me just tell you that much. It wasn't awkward at all for us to call you and ask you back.
Well, no. Well, you knew what side we were on, right, Oscar?
That's true. I am a coward with that.
Speaking of calls, I thought, you know, during the middle, who else has gone through this similar situation with the Mike O'Mara show? And how can I reach out to them and get some mentoring? So I thought, oh, I know who I'll call. And I tried to call. And I couldn't find Buzz anywhere. So,
oh, my God.
Oh, well.
It was so, it's so nice to have you back. And I was so delighted that we had this backlash, because it's fun. And it's, and people, and I immediately thought, oh, okay, this is so good. And we were trying to fake the poll when we were talking about saying, hey, it's, it's really close. We knew it wasn't close. It was
over.
It was Dude. There was a hashtag bring Dude back. And it was fun. And so how is everything else in your world of announcing? And and Dude's done like TV shows and stuff like that. Dude's very, very busy.
Yeah, I was just talking to Rob earlier before the show about, he said you get up early. And I said, yeah, sometimes for the Middle East, this is a normal time for them. I do work with a company in Dubai. And, you know, their 8 o'clock is their 3 o'clock or something. And so it's not uncommon for maybe working odd hours to do my little voiceover career there. I just. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Sure you do. Mr. Walker is standing by. He wants to promote that new high-rise hotel. That's fantastic.
Why is Dubai. It that, Mike, you and I, the first thing we think of is Dubai is just tall buildings.
That's Let me explain why dude works in Dubai and why I go on Voice 123 with 750,000 other people. And dude tried to help me before, and I contacted dude's agent or the people that work for dude's agent, and it was an interesting experience. Dude has great representation. Oh. He gets work all over the world, and we're lucky to have you.
That's true, Mike, and it doesn't. I want people like you to not feel so bad about themselves when they do get in touch with an agent, because the agents are really there to make money for their agency. They really don't care about Mike O'Mara or Dude Walker. And they just want, as long as somebody that they have is making money, they're happy. I came to that agent with I had money behind me. I'm working for this place, and I'm working for this place, and I'm working, and I'll give you 10%. And they said, yes, please. And that's it. If I didn't give them 10% of something big, sorry, you're another pretty voice. And that's what's happened. And the honesty of it all is not your talent. It's what you bring to the table. Yeah. And
that's it. That's absolutely true. And that's I would tell people that are in any way getting involved in that. I mean, even my daughter, I've had a realistic conversation with her daughter. It's tough. It's tough to start. It's very, very tough to start. I'll give you another example where I felt inadequate. I am very frustrated with Cocoonville and the way the golf course has been renovated and is not coming on. And I'm like, okay, I've always made the rule while I'm working, I will not involve myself on a committee with people that that are retired and have time to put in this. And finally, I decided to fill out a form. To because they were asking for volunteers for a committee.
Nice.
Well, what I didn't realize was they were wanting me to fill out a biography of what I do. And so they said, positions you have held in national organizations related to your profession. And I go, ding, 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 ding. None. Positions that you have held or committees you have sat on at previous golf club facilities. Dun, 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 dun. None. Mm-hmm. Any awards that would be pertinent to golf clubs or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, none. I look on this bio and I've got none, none, none. And then I was the first tee announcer in 2000 and 2003 at the President's Cup in Washington, D.C., but that's not sitting on a committee, but I lied to make it sound like that.
Oh, good.
I said, worked with NBC to present the dignitaries
Love
and the
it.
Players.
See, that's
Love
not
so
a lie.
So the answer to your question is I realized that what I am is a former radio personality that has one affiliate, God bless KHTK, out in Iowa City. KCJJ, that's right. Sorry about that. I got
details,
that wrong.
Details.
And here I am doing this. But I guess my life feels unfulfilled, dude.
Oh, that's, no.
That's the way.
This call has really taken a sad turn.
I love it.
I don't think anybody can say my life is full. Otherwise, you've got no reason to get up every day. Today might be the day. Tomorrow might be the day. The day may never happen, but keep doing it. Who says their life is fulfilled? No, who says that?
Pony says this.
You also dodged the bullet. You don't have time to volunteer.
Well, I have to tell you. Well, I filled out the form anyway, and then I looked on this, and these guys. Oh, by the way, they just had a guy that was a radio management guy that just joined Cocoonville, and he's an owner and a CEO, and he looked every bit like radio management, those people we went to war with all the time, and he won. He got it. He's been here half an hour. He's been here half an hour, and he's sitting on the board now. For God's sake. Anyway.
But do you really want to be a member of a club that would have you? I mean, that's really what this comes down to.
No, I don't. And you know what? So I filled out the form, and then I printed it. I came in this morning. I did it yesterday afternoon. I came in, and it hadn't printed. The filled out part hadn't printed, and I went, oop, that's a sign from God.
Yes.
Put that one to rest.
Sure. So, yeah.
So done and done.
But getting back to you, dude, enough about my therapy. for some reason, I purge to
the
that.
The key word is erratic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I you mean my behavior?
No, I mean, we made some changes. Some changes went sideways. I've made mistakes.
I stand by the changes, and there will be more changes to come.
Yeah, the digital dumpster TBD.
If dude will have us, there will not be any changes with that. All I had to do was listen to it. He went away for 2 days and then you know, came back and he came on, and it's great. Yeah, it's fine.
Done.
Where do you line up on the trend? And you hear it in every commercial voiceover known to mankind. It is extreme. It is more rare now than I think it ever has been to hear a classic announcer.
A big
I'm not
voice,
talking about a guy from the 50s. I'm talking about a voice, a guy with a presence. I know you're working all the time, but it's kind of gone to that. Hey, got to try this. There you go. Yeah, make sure. Yeah, try your Verizon phone.
You know, all these people, all these agencies, all these companies are under intense pressure to make to break out of the noise. And if you sound exactly like all the other announcers around, that's not what the client wants. So therefore, that's why they're experimenting with all this stuff. There's been experimentation like this going since the beginning of the microphone. They'd say, okay, let's put a woman in here. Let's put a high-pitched person. Let's put a this. It goes on and on and on. It's a way to break out from the static in the background. And unfortunately, us classically trained announcers sometimes get kicked in the bin. But, you know, the work that I do tends to be for that classic announcer. And funny now, people like me are sort of unusual to hear. They go, well, I remember hearing big voice people. You know, so sometimes it comes back around, and now all of a sudden I'm working again. But I can't. You can't sit there and say, oh, it's never been like it was the old days. It wears you down. You can't think that way. At least I don't.
What would you tell somebody? And I don't have the advice because I haven't done it on any level of success. I haven't. Not compared to what I used to do. There are too many people out there doing it with these services now. And by the way, I hire based on those services too, where you have a website where you can get 40,000 people instead of one person. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that somebody that was young, that was interested in it, that doesn't have, because what dude was saying before, young people that might want to go into this business of voiceovers, or older people that might want a second career in doing it, dude gets great representation because he brought clients
a book
to the representation.
Right.
That's it. Would you have any advice for people that might, you know, want to try this type of thing, that are younger?
Well,
or starting
you know, there's somebody out there now who is a young voice who has absolutely zero clientele and very little experience, who's going to get hired in the future. The question is, how do you find the track to that? And there's so many ways to get there. Now, personally, as you know, I came up with radio. I happen to work in the same building as Fox 5 in Washington, D.C. And so I walked down the hall. They said, we need an announcer.
Right.
Suddenly, I'm working on television, which is only slightly different. Television only slightly different than industrial narration, only slightly different than the commercials. So one kind of went into the other. I was very fortunate that I had a connection. And I hate the old cliche, it's who you know.
Yeah,
I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid it is. If you can find a connection with somebody who has a little in,
that's what.
But you know what?
Me.
It's funny because when you're talking about TV, we call them booth announcers. The TV stations are the last bastion, I think, of the big boys, right? I mean, that's one of the local TV stations have a lot of it, right?
I don't think there's that many of them anymore. I've been listening to some of them, and they're all starting to dial it back a little bit as far as the bigness. And although, having said that, I just became the voice for Reels. I don't even know where Reels is.
Oh, you're Reels?
Yeah, I'll be doing Reels this week. So I don't know.
Very cool.
But it's big voice stuff. You know, I think they're trying to just stick out from all the others who have little voice.
Thank you, Mr. Bookwolf. Anyway, I'm so jealous when I get you on the show. I really am. But it's cool that you do this. And I think I've always been fascinated by the announcer. And I remember years and years ago, it was just I've had different opportunities and done different things, but it was always with me doing impressions. That's the that got me Jerry Subba ads, and even to the point of doing commercials that forced me to impersonate other announcers that were doing commercials. That guy out in Tulsa, they wanted me to, you know, today we've got a fantastic furniture that day. They wanted me to do it. I felt very dirty. Yeah.
Didn't
when
you get?
I was,
didn't
that.
You get sort of a or the agency got a slap on the wrist for you doing a Morgan Freeman read once?
I don't know. I know that in Washington, D.C., this is after I was doing my Morgan Freeman. I was doing Morgan Freeman very early
right.
in my career, and they had a guy for, oh, I think it's American Service Center, the Mercedes-Benz.
That's what I seem to remember as well, yeah.
And I was like, God, why didn't they call me, you know? I would have loved to do that because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do that. I go back 25 years remembering stuff that I've done because it's so much fun. You know, the same way, dude. You know, when you get a good cherry gig, what would be as far as pure announcing gigs that people would know you from that or something you've done that you said this was cool? Because you do a lot of them, a lot of voiceovers for TV.
And, you know, the things that I really have the most fun looking back and remembering are not really the announcing gigs for broadcast. They were for things, live events. I introduced both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump at the AIPAC conference in D.C. There were 12,000 people live, but and I guess it was an international audience. There was something so exciting about doing it live again, because of course I come from live radio and,
right,
and
right,
some live
right.
and I get and it that feeling of live really is so much more exciting to me than doing the announcing. Now it's financially it made more sense to do. I did Audi for a while. It was a very short period of time. In Germany, they love me. I don't know why.
You're David Hasselhoff of announcers. That's
you
awesome.
Didn't have to do anything. You didn't speak German, did you?
No, I didn't. Well, here's the thing. Over in England, I'm over in Europe. There's a whole hierarchy of voices and all,
right.
And they can't use a German voice for it because then the people in Spain don't understand it. You can't use a Spanish voice for it. So this commercial, and they can't use a British voice for it. So the only a neutral voice they can find is an American voice. So
okay.
I became the American voice in Europe for Audi.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I wasn't over here. You didn't hear me in America, but you heard me in Europe as an American doing Audi commercials.
Here so I would think, you know, Audi be like, big. Hey, Audi. Hey, it's Audi. Hey, driving Audi.
Right, right.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. Those guys. I remember when I was working with Kirk McEwen, and Kirk did a lot of voiceover work, too, and said he worked with somebody in New York. I forgot what her name was. I think her first name was Martha. She was a voice coach in Martha because I realized that in some cases you want to move out of that announcer thing. And what it really is me trying not to be who I am. And that normally doesn't work in right. any kind of media at all.
Nope.
And so I worked like for 3 weeks with this lady who would, she said, read this copy Saturday night on Channel 20. Saturday night on Channel 20. And she said, can you say it more like Saturday night on Channel 20? And she's really just trying to get me to sound like I don't give a rat's ass
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And it was weird. And it's the same thing, by the way, with acting, as Dude will tell you. It's the same thing even more so, where, you know, if you don't see a lot of disc jockeys that make that transition into acting, unless you're like a guy, the late Jay Thomas, who I think about because he had that voice
well,
about him.
Mike, I did a project.
Johnny announcers don't do it.
I did a project with Judd Apatow sometime back, and it was
this guy.
The show that you went on, and then it was canceled.
Yeah, you murdered.
Well, you know, it went on for another episode after mine, so it was might not have
was
been
it one more episode?
Yeah,
after
I was
you
on.
Went
I think
on?
I was yeah. even.
He went on,
seven
and then they declare that they're canceling the show. Literally, the episode that aired.
Like
in
day Holmes. Up, day
was it Pete Holmes?
Pete Holmes crashing. Yeah, it still
really
exists in my TiVo.
By the way, really, really funny,
dude. You talk about doing live. I thought it was really cool when the pandemic I think it must have been like last summer you did the show where celebrities were watching TV clips and you were you were doing the wraparounds, and I remember I talked to you about that, or maybe it was on the show. Sometimes you had like 7-8 hours to get the copy back to them because they were trying to stay so current. Is that sort of urgency, does that mimic live announcing at all, the fact that you could turn something so fast?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and they love the fact that you know, Interestingly, though, some of the radio skills, and I talked to Joe Cipriano. You know Joe Cipriano,
of course, another great legendary voice out of Los Angeles. Yeah. Great guy.
And Joe is as talented as he was. Also, was in the right place at the right time. He was in Los Angeles, filling in on a weekend shift at a station he normally did part time on. The new guy for Fox Television. This is before Fox was really anything other than The Simpsons.
Right.
Said, I want a new voice, and they hired him on the spot. Anyway, the reason he kept the job, it's one thing to get hired. He kept the job. He knew timing to the half of a second. They would say, we need this in 9.2 tenths of a second, and he could nail it all the time.
Wow.
And that was his radio back. He said, I used to talk up intros. That's what I know how to do.
And you back time. So you back time to the news skill and things
set,
like that.
His skill set came into play. So it's oddly enough, sometimes these strange little things we think don't really matter, really matter. And people are amazed by, how can you do that? Because I was in radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people in the Washington market will remember Dude and Doug when they were back there in the Q107 days. And it's so much fun. And really, I think that when you come up in a radio and you go back to really a different era for radio, as I do, where it's become more watered down, which is the saddest thing of all for local radio. And that's, I don't want to sound like a bunch of whining old farts, which we are, but I mean, it's a situation where they call it voice tracking. Where you will get a guy that comes into a station that's owned by a local entity that owns 9 stations, and a guy will track 3 or 4 of them in a day.
Yes.
And what's left. You still have guys. I got a friend down here in a small market, Mark Miller, who's been on the show, who's fantastic, and we talk radio. He's kind of old school as well, but there's not nearly as much of that. I've always felt that. I remember WJFK when we were on and Howard was on and Howard came out of New York and we were based in D.C. But shows like The Junkies and to a certain extent Big O and Dukes with Oscar Santan, you had a what I would describe as kind of a farm system where you bring guys in.
Developing talent.
And that was unheard of even back then. But that is, to me, a source of entertainment for people that would keep people's heads on straight that I wish we had more of. Would you agree that we just don't have as many people out there that are entertaining? And there are plenty that would be fan. Now we've got it with podcasts, but it's very, very watered down.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, technology, every turn, technology changes the way talent are used. Radio before television and what? Live theater before that. Each one of them has gone through oh my God, there goes our careers. We're never going to get this back again. I think of the analogy of a taxi cab driver and an Uber driver. Well, yeah, the cab drivers are pretty damn upset about Uber because it's now a cheaper alternative. And the radio stations are going, we're losing our ass. I can't hire a full-time personality DJ for the kind of money that they're going to want. I'm going to hire this voice track guy. Sure, he sucks, but I'm making more money with that than I would with the morning guy.
Margins.
So margins. It's a sad turn of events because of technology. Technology gets you into the room, and then it'll kick you right back out when something newer.
Well, it's taking us to the world, Mike, so it goes, it cuts both ways.
This is true. This is true. I think in terms of live and local with different folks. I think that I would love to hear, I'd love to drive down 95 and be able to turn a radio on in every town I listen to, which there was a time when you could do that.
Well, that's a lie. You hate driving on 95.
That's true. He would be on Route 1, but he would be listening to the radio. But Mike,
I might be sleeping.
To what you say, on WAVA, back when, the mid to late 80s on WAVA, you were scared to turn it off because you might miss something. That was the electricity of that station. And now, with everything on demand, it's still going to be there tomorrow. And that's not to say
there's more niche.
Yeah,
it's more niche.
There's niche and the entertainment is there, but it's there's not the electricity of the liveness of it, I don't think.
Well, if you like our niche, I tell you, we have Dude on our niche.
Yeah.
He is here.
Yeah, give yourselves a hand, though. I mean, as far as podcasts are concerned, and I go around and listen and view quite a few of them, and there are some really bad ones, and there's some great. For instance, Mark Maron, I find him fascinating as a
great
podcast.
Great, one, yeah. One of the best in the business. Just, absolutely.
But he's got it's a different sort of feel than yours. Yours is the old radio feel. And for people who love that, it's amazing. I was with you guys in Vegas. I could not believe the rabid fans that you bring in. I mean, that they're crazy about you.
I have trouble believing it too. Yeah. I really do all these years. Yeah.
So why stop? Keep doing what's working. God, people would kill to do what you're doing.
Well, it's fun, and I was saying to my wife, planning this trip out west where we're going to do a meet and greet in Spokane, not a show. Sorry, we're going to, no, it's a meet and greet. I have to tell, there's my theme for that. I really said to my wife, dude, I said to her this morning, I said, this is still, all the people that said, hey, do this, go here, we can't wait to see you, blah, 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 the excitement level, we're in our 12th year. Of doing this podcast, and there is no sign of it slowing down. Oscar gave us a year and a half, dude. He gave us about a year and a half, and I'm stunned that we're still chugging along, right? I mean,
I said, Mike, we'll know if this is working within 6 months. You
know? But I remember being excited because when Oscar gave us a year and a half, I thought he was going to leave us in a year and a half. And Mike and I could still do the show. I was just misinformed.
Thank you for taking the time to come on the show. You got a bunch of fans out there that clamored for your return. And fortunately, you did not tell us to pound sand.
I do want to say thank you to them. I mean, I don't know them, but thank you guys and girls for being dude fans. It's nice to know I've got somebody out there. That's great.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
And if you get a package from Mark Riddell, don't open it.
That's it. Okay. Dude Walker, you are one of my favorite people in our business. It's fun to talk to you. Thank you. Okay. Go talk to Dubai or whoever the hell you're talking
to. See on Reels.
High-powered rock and roll agent there. Anyway, it wouldn't even take my call. Anyway, we got to take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. We are going to check out the homepage next.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know how I was saying Joanna called me
at
Cornerstone
yes.
First Financial? Joanna called me.
Nice.
And I didn't realize Joanna listens to the show.
Oh, that's good.
And we had a conversation. We got things back and chugging on my refi down here in Florida. I'm excited about it. Look, the rates have to be monitored all the time. They're changing. We all knew the day would come. The hope for an economic recovery has pushed mortgage rates a bit higher.
Yes.
But I'm still in the game with this. You gotta act now before the train leaves the station. Toot, toot. It's a volatile market, and it's more important than ever to work with a team you can trust. My lady is Joanna over at Cornerstone. Mark Livingstone and all the guys over there and all the gals over there are fantastic. They're great. Rates are still in the twos. Household debt has surpassed $14 trillion. That's with a T and an R. Trillion dollars. And home equity is at levels not seen in 15 years. So the time to act is right now.
Don't wait until tomorrow, Oscar. Tomorrow may be too late.
Right now.
Consolidation, lowering your rates, divorce.
How's that?
Divorce buyout. They're a direct lender, which means they can guarantee the best rate. Call them now. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Just waiting for rates to go down won't work anymore. So call my friend at Cornerstone, all my friends over there, and do it. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Act now or forever regret your ridiculous mistake. Do you hear me, people?
Listen.
Do not do that. Personal attention. By the way, I made Joanna laugh the other day when she called me and I picked up the phone. I said, hey, personal attention from application to closing. I swear to God,
That's great.
So Cornerstone First Financial, check them out, please.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
You know, one of my buddies yesterday was saying, oh, what did you talk about on your show today? And I said, well, we're pretty much all over this Meghan Markle Harry thing. And he rolled his eyes. And I know there are a lot of people out there that think we talk about, but it's everybody's talking about
this. Hot story.
In the world right now.
I find it fascinating. Buckingham Palace responded yesterday, finally, to claims of racism made by Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Here's what they said. And I will use my Prince Charles aristocratic voice for it.
The family is certain to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, they are taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. Privately. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much loved family members. Although personally, this is Prince Charles, I hope they slip in the shower.
Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry. He didn't say that. They didn't say that.
That's horrible.
Whether or not there will be any casualties within the royal family remains to be seen. But.
Yes?
There's already been a casualty outside of it. Remember that annoying British guy, Piers Morgan?
Mm. I hate him.
I watched a lot of him on Good Morning Britain.
Yes.
He quit his job at a show called Good Morning Britain after one of his co-hosts berated him over Meghan Markle. Piers has never been quiet about his dislike for Meghan, and after the interview aired on Sunday, he went on a rant about not believing a thing she said. On yesterday's show, his co-host,
Alex Beresford,
went off on him and said he just has it out for Meghan because she cut him off. Piers got super triggered by that and stormed off the set. Later in the day, the network said Piers decided to leave the show, and they were cool with that.
You know what? I bet if you worked with Piers Morgan and he quit, everyone would be okay with it. It's like, well, okay, thanks, bye.
The reason Piers was so wounded by this other guy, Beresford, is because Meghan really did cut him off. Piers was a big fan of the show Suits that she was on back in the day, and he struck up a friendship with her on Twitter. One time, Meghan came to London to watch Serena Williams play at Wimbledon, so she and Piers got together at a pub. Well, that's kind of cool.
There you go.
After a few drinks and some conversation, Piers put her into an Uber, and she headed off to a party where she met Prince Harry for the first time, and Piers never heard from her again. Apparently, he's held a grudge.
Whoa. I watched it. Mike missed it by that much.
He was so ramped up. I thought he was playing the game he normally plays, which is the contrarian game.
Yeah.
But he seemed very, very agitated, and it's just not a time where you can do that. You can't just slam people without justification and call them liars on national TV, in this case, Britain.
He picked the royal family over...
He did.
His career, it felt.
Yeah.
Where, well, as a journalist, you have some sort of... Not that we're not, you know, not us, but for him, for someone that has had programs on news channels,
yeah,
that you have to decide at a certain point what your journalistic integrity is going to be. And yeah, it is gossip that they're talking about, but overall, when you see the overall headlines for this story, there's a clear path to say, okay, what is the most appropriate course of action? And to defend the royals and attack Meghan Markle, probably not the best path.
Did he determine whether or not he paid for the Uber that took her to the party?
I don't know. But one of the things I saw was he kept saying that is a lie. Yes. About when she said he didn't have the title,
right,
that Archie didn't get the title. So I don't know. This goes out. This probably is going to dissipate now because they've made their statement and they've moved on.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
No. Think about the bombshell, Mike, and even in our crazy news cycle right now.
You think people are going to still dig about who the royal family member was that did say this, whether it was Charles or Harry? I'm not Charles or William, which is what the speculation is. You think it's going to continue to
grow hair? I don't think it goes anywhere, at least for, I mean, something big has to happen for it to drop out of the news cycle. Everybody's, most of America's locked up just eating this up going back and watching The Crown. The Crown started trending again after the story broke.
And The Crown,
it'll certainly prop it up, I believe, yes.
It will, if it was even slightly true.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way they are, and it really does kind of suck. Let's do a palate cleanser
right now.
This is kind of fun. There is a new study out which set out to determine America's funniest stand-up comedians using science. Sort of.
Okay.
First, they gave 2,722 comedy fans a long list of comedians and asked them to select their favorites. They used that feedback to cut the list to a top 20 and then had 120 volunteers watch a stand-up special by each one. The participants' audio responses were recorded and analyzed by a program that registered laughter at 60 decibels and higher. Then they ranked the comedians by how much laughter they would generate per hour. Mm. Now, they have 20. I've got your, what do I have, the 10?
Okay.
Let me see if I got the top 10. I got the top 10 right here.
All right.
All right. Let's start here with number 10. I'll go worst to first.
Can you offer a ding and a buzz with them if you agree or disagree?
Absolutely.
I think that'd be good.
Richard Pryor. I have to give Richard Pryor a ding.
Yes.
Richard Pryor is one of those comedians where you see him on stage and you just look at him and say, funny guy.
Yeah, there was some danger there. That always prompts laughter, I think.
Here's a ding for me because Don Rickles is a number 10.
I'm glad he's at number 9 or 10.
Rob, you might know this guy. I don't know his work as much. And I believe I think Patton is a huge fan of his. Bill Hicks at number 8.
Yeah.
Oops. No, I'm not giving the buzzer. I'll give him the. Chappelle is number 7. I don't know how you feel about that one. Chappelle's up there.
Yeah,
higher, I feel.
I don't know. That last appearance on Saturday Night Live kind of soured me a little on him.
But his body of work?
His overall body of work. Okay, all right, I'm with you.
Joan Rivers comes in at number 6.
Oh.
And let me see. At number 5 is Bernie Mac.
Love Bernie.
Late Bernie Mac. This one was a wild card, and I'm sorry, I'm giving it the buzzer. Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Wow.
I've seen his old stand-up. I didn't like his stand-up as much as other people.
His
you know?
Latest work has sullied his... it's sullied his overall body of work.
Well, he was truly original when he came out. When he used to do Carson, it was hard to look away, but I never was a fan.
All right, so at number 3, this is someone probably a lot of people haven't heard. I haven't watched a lot of his stand-up because he's too old for me.
Okay.
And he's no longer here. Red Fox comes in at number 3. Red Fox. Now, why do you laugh? Are you a fan?
I am, and also because of the way he sort of came up, his original career was something called a party record, and it was sort of an under-the-counter, almost black market, dirty album that you'd have to ask for, and like early on, before Sanford and Son, his catchphrase was, did you wash your ass today? And
wash your ass today.
In the 50s, that's like the most outrageous thing you've ever heard, but I've heard him described as, in real life, one of the most naturally funny people ever.
Yeah, I buy that. Now we're down to the top 2.
All right.
It's about a dog named Snuggles.
Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry. Top 2. I think everybody's going to maybe get this.
Okay.
Would you like to hazard a guess as to, let me give you a number 2 and then I'll try to let you guess number 1. Number 2 is Eddie Murphy. Kind of interesting timing, isn't it? That it's Eddie Murphy now with...
I will guess number 1 because I remember, and I actually saw my introduction to his stand-up with you at your home, and we both watched Mouth Agape. I would say Chris Rock.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you are missing a huge elephant in the room. Oscar, would you like to guess the
Seinfeld?
Number 1? No. It's not.
So Chris Rock didn't even make the top 10?
No, he did not. No.
Wow.
Mm. Number 1. Think funniest man ever to grace a comedy stage.
Jesus
Robin
Christ.
Williams.
There you go, Robin Williams.
Got it.
Robin Williams, there it is. Yeah, I don't know. When I saw the Eddie Murphy thing, I think Eddie Murphy's very funny, but it's also, you know, that movie and stuff, which
like
I wanted
to... Like a cast of Comic Relief.
Yeah.
That's very interesting,
isn't
it?
Where's Billy Crystal?
Yeah.
I know. Listen, do you guys pay attention to the bread that you order and whether it's healthy for you?
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Okay. The healthiest breads. Let's see. Someone
I thought
had
wheat was the healthiest.
Well, I think you might be right.
Cool.
Nutritionist ranked these breads. Here are the 5 healthiest breads. The healthiest is a tie between whole grain and wheat, but not all brands are created equal. Look for types that say 100% whole wheat,
okay,
or whole grain. If they don't say 100%, they may only have a tiny amount. Ezekiel or sprouted grain bread. We eat that in the O'Mara house.
Hello, my name is Ezekiel Bread.
Tastes like garbage. Salt.
Okay.
Huh?
Doesn't taste good.
Yeah, put a little real butter on it. It's delicious. It's
a little Kerrygold. Sure.
Yeah, a little Kerrygold. Yeah. Rock and roll. Sourdough came in at number 3. I think people would be happy about
love
that.
Love me sourdough. Some sourdough.
Boy. I think of sourdough and I think of subs.
Why?
Yes, sourdough bread. Delicious sourdough. Rye is 4, multigrain 5. So what's breads should you avoid? Bagels. Dead last.
Really?
Oh, my God. Bagels. My plain bagel days from downstairs.
Yeah.
Bagels bad. Bagels bad.
Oh, no.
They're usually made from refined flour, have a ton of added sugar, and they're high in calories. The 5 least healthy types of bread are bagels, white bread, flour tortillas, white pita bread, and brioche.
Amazingly, Mike, that is my shopping list.
Thank you. Boom. Well done. Professional matchmaker says people should wait 12 dates before having sex. One of the main reasons is because sexual activity releases the hormone oxytocin, which can make you blind to all the red flags in a relationship. I think we all know
and
this,
Pony,
right?
Just I got to clarify for Pony, that's 12 dates with the same person. It's not 12 dates total.
Oh, God damn it.
And if you pay for it, Pony doesn't count.
That's right. And don't
it's better to get to know each other first, find out what person is like on good days and bad days, and see how many red flags pop up.
Yeah, you get addicted to the P or the D, depending on who you are.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
And when I was a younger man, I'm probably guilty of that, where it's like, the goal was not to wait 12 days and get to know a person. No. The goal was like, we're like dogs. We're animals.
I had a 3-month rule. Like, if we were still having sex in 3 months, I had to go. Because
I thought that was their rule.
If you were still having sex in 3 months?
Yeah, remember, because at that point, you're young, there's so many options.
Right.
Just keep moving, right?
You actually had a cutoff time with the person?
Yeah, because you don't want to get tied down, Mike. You want to move on with life.
All right, well, that's sexist, but saved you a lot of money.
Sure.
Anyway, let's move. And now we have a little something. Back in October of 2019, a 20-year-old guy named Cody Meter went to a Target in St. Petersburg, Florida, took a large stuffed doll of Olaf, the snowman from Frozen.
Of course.
Took it off the shelf. And, it's St. Petersburg, Florida, so he had sex with it.
Of course.
Then he went over to a stuffed unicorn. He went over to a stuffed unicorn and got it on with that, too. The cops showed up before he was done and arrested him. He was charged with criminal mischief, and Target says they destroyed the 2 stuffed animals he'd violated. Cody was in court yesterday, and the judge decided he needed to undergo a psych evaluation.
Really?
To determine if he's capable of going to trial next month. The prosecutor says if he does go to trial, they'll introduce evidence that he's done this before at a Walmart.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
That's not okay.
Now, I know Target says they destroyed the stuffed animals, but, little bleach, you could put them on the clearance aisle, as far as I'm concerned.
You gotta steam clean them.
That's
steam
right.
Really? At Walmart? Seen some of those clearance aisles?
What about my favorite Disney song, Do You Want a Bonus Snowman?
Hold on. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with something right here
on
the Mike O'Mara Show.
Introducing DermGlow Skin, the amazing skincare line from Carla O'Mara that's helping people look and feel better about their face. And now there's something new from DermGlow Skin. Introducing Mike's Package, a skincare routine that'll make your skin feel and look spectacular. Mike's Package includes a cleansing repair bar, timeless face oil moisturizer, SPF 30 protective lotion, and exfoliating citrus scrub. And Mike's Package comes in 2 sizes you can choose from. The little size package contains travel size products for when you're on the go, and the big package has all of your full size facial care essentials that'll make your face sing. Get these incredible products at DermGlowSkin.com and call Carla for a free skincare consultation at 239-247-4036. That's DermGlowSkin.com, 239-247-4036. DermGlow Skin, that's DermGlowSkin.com. Feel better about yourself today. That's what makes you
beautiful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. When I was shaving with my Harry's razor this morning,
right?
I will tell you, I don't talk enough about the lubricating strip. And I have been a client of Harry's for so long that I'm going to talk about it now
because I really
got some sun exposure yesterday. My skin was a little sensitive.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, if you angle that Harry's razor just the right way, it's always good, the lubricating strip, but I really got a great benefit out of it today. And just add it to the list of things I love about Harry's.
There's no drag on your face whatsoever.
No. The only drag is when you're going to that club you like on the weekends.
That's
Harry's
right.
Rocks. Too often we're forced to choose between quality or a fair price. With Harry's, you don't have to choose. They give you award-winning blades at factory direct prices. And for a limited time, Harry's is offering their starter set plus a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. $3. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave. You're going to love it. I know you will. And this is a great way to dive into their ergonomic design with 5 sharp blades. Harry's Factory, one of the select few manufacturers in the world that have mastered the Gothic arch. You might not want to Google that, but it's the gold standard for razor blade grinding. They stand behind it, and this is a great way to get involved with Harry's for the first time by getting this limited time exclusive offer. This is just for TMOS listeners. New customers can get a Harry starter set, a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That's over a $16 value for just $3. You get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, travel size body wash. It's an incredible deal, so act fast while supplies last. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer. Okay, because with Dude, we're running a little bit late right now. Gosh, I don't know what to talk about, but I just have to share this right now. Yesterday, I got into a fight, not a fight, but an argument with my doctor. All right.
Ooh.
I have now gone to the special number they give you, and I have registered to be called when my appointment is ready. Did you do something similar?
Vaccine, you mean right? For your vaccine, not for your doctor?
For my doctor. I have done this prior to getting my vulnerability form that I have to fill out.
Okay, so to be
signed by my doctor.
To be clear, you're registered to be notified when you can make your appointment, but you still need the form from your doctor. Very similar to what happened here in Loudoun County. When they opened up the online signed up, gave all my information, and then I got weekly updates saying not yet. Then this past weekend I said you can sign up. Signed up. Made an appointment, got canceled, made another appointment, and as of now, knock wood, still going in on Saturday for my first shot.
You get the ding.
Yeah,
it's not even remotely like that down here.
Really?
There's not enough vaccine down here.
All right.
And,
too many
and
elderly.
And we're dealing with it. It might be too many elderly that are making this happen. But
I thought your neighborhood was nice enough for DeSantis to give you the nod, as he had other neighborhoods.
Yeah, the wink and a nod policy.
Oh, you mean like the elite neighborhoods? No, I don't live
in a neighborhood
true?
Like that. Is that true? From your perspective,
I don't know what's true.
Okay.
I don't know what's true. I know that it's
what
been problematic.
Have you gotten the robocall that says, "Hello, this is Ron DeSantis, and the Walgreens near you isn't carding," and then there's a wink?
Look, all I know is I spoke to a live person at a hotline, and I decided I would do that while I was waiting for the idiots at my doctor's office to do this. Here's the conversation. I call and I have my form and I said, by the way, I believe that my good doctor had mentioned to me that I am in the vulnerable category for this fight. If that is the case, and I don't want, and I believe that this is my true belief. If that's not the case, then wait. I'm fine with that. That's worked for me so far.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood. But if I am, like he said, I'd like to bring the form, and if he signs it, then I will full speed ahead, because now one of the subcategories, at least down here in Florida, are people that are under 65 but are vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think I am, because, well, look at me.
You've been vulnerable for 20 years.
I may have said that to the nurse.
Right.
So then
click the box said National Treasure?
No, they didn't have that one.
Oh.
That form. That was the red, white, and blue form.
Sorry about that.
So here's what happens. I call the office. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, absolutely. He'll sign it, and then you can be on your way.
Right.
That's the gist of the conversation. Just bring it down. So Monday after the show, I beat feet right down there. It's my numero uno priority.
Yeah, imagine
I go in
that.
There.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and I told you yesterday about the debacle where they said no, and I'm like, okay.
They hemmed and hawed.
And then so I got to make another trip down there. This could be done online. I don't understand, but I'm fine. And the indication was that I would get someone to get back to me that day, and that didn't happen. So I call yesterday, and I get another lady there who, do you know when you have an issue where you've been told something and you think it's a little more complicated? This lady is ready to say no before the conversation even begins.
I know the type.
The first
They're ready to
sentence,
go. Yeah, absolutely.
That is what she
lives
directs
for.
All of her energy into is telling me why I can't get satisfied. And the first line, Oscar, that she gives me is, as you can probably imagine.
Oh, boy.
Why did Maddie send me a message? What's going on? What am I doing with that? Could you please move the camera? Yep.
Aww.
All right.
Maddie's a problem solver.
It seems like you just drifted a bit, Mike. I wanted to steer you back.
I'm jumping
to
around, Maddie. I'm jumping around. I'm just trying to,
Maddie, do you ever send him a text that's just like, hey, you're doing great?
No.
I don't want that. I don't want that, Rob, because I see Maddie, I know I'm doing something
wrong
with the camera.
Zero communication.
Is that all right? Is that okay?
That's much better. Thank you.
Maddie Masiello.
I dropped the
remote. Mike, you had a negative Nelly at the doctor's office.
That's right.
So the first line is, as you can probably imagine, you're not the only one that is trying to get this form filled out. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Mike, can
is
you
that,
do
is
her
that
voices?
What start
can
with?
You do her voice as Phil Hartman, just as a personal favor for me?
As you can probably imagine, there are many people in line before your fat ass. Then she goes, I'm like, well, I was told. I said, I was told just to bring this down, and then that wasn't true. Then I was told a nurse would get back to me on Monday. That didn't happen. And then she said, well, she's not just telling me she's going to solve a problem. At one point, I want to say, look, have you looked at, he needs to go over your chart. I'm like, fine. But if he knows it's me, I've got a couple of these criteria. And I'm like, why did the, my issue with you people is that you made it sound like it wasn't a thing, and now it's a thing.
It's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
These vulnerabilities are very, very well documented, as Rob Spiewak told me on yesterday's show.
Right.
Right? Which is you saying you're fat.
That's all
I did. That's all you did.
Yeah.
I'm fat, and I've had a pulmonary embolism, and I've been pre-diabetes. I hate saying this like a fat guy. But I also think if you're going to tell me that there is not a shade of gray here. This is a formality.
Look at you.
This should
that's
be.
That's
what
I said to the nurse at once. I said, "Look, all you have to do is look at me."
It must be more loosey-goosey up here because my aunt Lina, who is a teacher and also a tutor, got advanced access to the vaccine because she's an educator. So it's a frontline worker. And when she filled out the form, she clicked educator. But when she went in and got her shot, they didn't card her. They didn't check her in any way. They took her at her word.
No, because the ultimate goal of all of this is for people that give a rat's ass to get their vaccine.
Right.
I don't want a line jump. That's not what I'm trying to
exactly.
do. But I am trying to say, as Rob explained to me yesterday, you didn't have to get a physician's approval, correct?
No, I did not.
Maybe this is a cash grab for the $40 copay or whatever you have to pay when you walk.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a cash grab. I think it's a screwed up situation with my doctor's office and someone who's afraid. I've got an appointment with him later in the week to adjust some of my medication.
That's good news for us, Oscar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll finally get
it is good news for
it.
You.
I think you're doing pretty good.
You'll probably say to me last night, hey, Mike, we lost one of the cameras. I'm like, hey, man, that's cool. No problem at all. No problem at all. So, but when you get one of these conversations with somebody that goes back and forth, and all the energy.
The villainy here is not the outcome. It's the way they dragged you into it by saying that it was.
It's like a I'm having a 3 to 5 minute conversation.
Yeah, shouldn't have to do that.
That could not have been. That was totally unnecessary. I don't want you to explain that you have four doctors in the office and all four of them do it differently. I don't need to hear
that. I care about that.
I'm watching a reality show yesterday, and I'm almost positive it was The Prophet. One of these, they take a business pre-pandemic and they try to right the ship. And
oh, so it's Prophet with an F, not Prophet like someone who can foretell the future.
Yes.
Okay.
And he...
So anybody going through this, I wanted to say...
He walks into the Farrell's. I don't know what ended up happening to Farrell's, but it was a Farrell's store. And he's explaining that the candy layout is subpar. And the lady who's in charge of candy and then doing 10 other jobs is like, no, that's not going to work. Oh, no, that's not going to work. No, that's not going
to
work.
Your 12-inch lollipop is absolutely invisible to the consumer. By the way,
yes, go ahead. Yes.
And Oscar. He says, why all the no's when you haven't even, you're saying no even before you've decided to actually think about what the solution's going to be.
Right.
Like, let's fix the problem together. That's you've already said it's not going to be able to be fixed.
Because you're droning away in this environment and you don't like people.
Yes.
Period.
Period.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You don't like your job probably and you don't like people. And who would like people if you're dealing with whining old people like me every day? And by the way, when I mention the sugars, I know people are going to go, oh, sorry, Mike. And well, F you too. I'm sorry. I'm doing what I thought I'm supposed
to
do.
Yourself.
Yes. But he also fixed it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
God damn it. You know? Going down to one meal a day, trying to do my best. All the peanut butter is now out of the house.
Oh, no.
Well, of course, because you ate it all.
All the peanut butter has now been removed. What?
Well, of course it is, because you ate it all.
Oh, me, Jabba, okay? You know that? You too, okay? Mister, you have more white flour in your cabinet than I've had in my entire life, for Christ's sake.
So true.
You know, this tater tot casserole.
Oh, it's so
but
good,
anyway,
though. Lots of protein.
But the thing about it is that it's the land of no, and I just, all I want to do is do it. So I cart before the horse.
Yes.
I've signed up, hopefully. I will get the little form. I'm going to call again today. Huh. That'll be fun.
Well, when do you see him? When do you see him?
Friday morning. Maybe I should wait until Friday.
It's not.
That's what I'll do.
You're not going to rocket ship it by calling him on a Wednesday.
No, you know what, Rob? I can't do that. I don't have that chip. And as far as medicine is concerned, you've got to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
It's true.
Waiting for him. Every day I linger is a day they forget. That's the way.
And they may be like, this guy keeps on calling. Just get it over with.
Oh, my God.
Take
we're
that.
Running super late.
Very,
Jesus.
Very late. Very late.
We got to take a break. So anyway, had a nice conversation.
Sounds nice.
Yes, sir. And the peanut butter's gone. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about Rob on the Biden's dogs right here. It's funny. Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hope you're enjoying yourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, it's Bernie. And you know what I hate? Well, frankly, I hate most everything. But I really hate splinters. They hurt, and I'm always losing my tweezers, and it's frustrating. So, what's the solution? Stop it at the source. Make sure all your wood is smooth. Go to the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center and buy one of their fantastic Bernie sanders. Plug it in and go to work in your wood shop. Boy. Your raw lumber doesn't stand a chance. Smooth as a baby's ass and no more splinters. They sell tweezers too. Target and Walmart, they sell it all. Just access it at MikeOmeraShow.com. Feel the burn.
Bane. Thank you. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Theragun. What a great product. Mm-hmm. I love it, love it, love it. Theragun is truly something special. I have one. It really, really is one of the best devices I have ever had in my home. It gets the deepest muscle tension out using depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. And man, is this thing put together. This is so well built. It's the Gen 4 Theragun. Theragun. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. They got an OLED screen, and the design is amazing. You got to go to their site and check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behavior and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 sports teams, pros, elite athletes, hundreds of thousands of customers, and Robin. Here's a fact. Kevin Durant and who else is on that list there? Oh, hold on. My thing is
Aaron Rodgers, right?
Is he on there?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get it right. That's right, Aaron Rodgers. Who, you know, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be hosting Jeopardy.
That's a lot of tension, and he needs it.
What more do you want?
No, they invested in the company.
They did.
Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers. They believe in Theragun. You should, too. Try Theragun 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS. Rob asked me if I knew about this story before the show. I did not, but Donald Trump did not have dogs in the White House.
No pets at all.
President Biden does have dogs. In fact, I saw a picture of him with his dogs about a month ago where they're these cute German shepherds that he's
Major
got, right?
And Champ. I believe they're both rescues. And there was actually an Instagram post last month, I believe, where he says, not many people have Oval Office walk-in privileges. Happy to report that these two are on the list. And it was a picture of him and his two dogs. However, the Washington Post reports that last week, one of the dogs bit a Secret Service agent.
Oh,
and they've been sort of trying to keep it under the radar, but it's funny the way they've addressed it. It says this broke yesterday, so it's a week ago. Late Tuesday, a Secret Service official told the Washington Post that Major nipped at an agent's hand at the White House, causing a minor injury and leaving a small mark. The skin was not punctured, and there was no bleeding, said the official, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So. It's great that this is the first sort of minor scandal of the Biden administration. Initially, details were sparse. CNN reported a biting incident late Monday, but the dogs have been returned to their homes in Wilmington, Delaware. Tuesday morning, the spokesperson for the First Lady said, with the First Lady traveling for 3 days, Champ and Major went to Delaware to stay with family friends. So
that
there's a...
makes sense.
Mr. President, we're going to, excuse me, sir. I need to, we're doing a security check protocol.
Oh, God! White House Press Secretary Jen, I think it's pronounced Psaki, had a prepared statement and said, Champ and Major, the President and First Lady's dogs, are members of the family and still getting acclimated and accustomed to their new surroundings and new people. So,
I would imagine for a dog, it's a little stressful.
Sure.
Have everybody running around like that. Mm-hmm. Trump didn't have a dog or a cat or anything. Right?
No. I mean, no animals in the Trump administration. Animals. I do have a list here of some of the presidential animals that we have had in the past. Barack Obama had Bo and Sonny, both Portuguese water dogs.
Beautiful dogs.
George W. Bush had Spot, an English Springer Spaniel, Scottish Terrier Barney, Miss Beasley, a Scottish Terrier, Willie, a cat, and Ophelia, a Longhorn cow.
Hold on a second. Slow down. I know who Bill Clinton had.
Oh, who's that?
I have a pet snake.
Now stop it.
Hey, would you like to go to the Oval Office? That we still doing that humor? Isn't he 80 years old right now?
It's fine. It's fine.
I got a trouser snake. You want to come by and see right now? Come on, you want to see it? If you treat me nice, I'll let it out of its aquarium.
Oh no! Oh, the aquarium bill.
Lyndon Johnson got accused of being mean to his dogs when he held his dog up by the ears.
Yeah,
remember
he had
that?
Beagles.
That's years
they had
ago.
Beagles. They
That's
were named
dog history.
Him don't and her. Yeah.
Don't we have audio of President Johnson getting his trousers?
We do, adjusted. as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. I need some room in my ball sack or something like that.
Bunghole.
That's what he was talking about. He actually said that. I'm glad you remember that. Right?
Lyndon B. Johnson also had lovebirds, hamsters, a beagle, a white collie, another beagle, and a mongrel dog that would sing with White House guests.
I think the pets coincide with younger children in the White House because kids love pets. Mm-hmm. That's the way.
Those by German the way, when shepherds I came, look so cool in
they
the
look
Oval
wonderful.
Office.
They're beautiful. A really beautiful German shepherd is mm-hmm. one of the most gorgeous dogs yes. on the planet. We're all dog people. We all yeah. love dogs. Winslow has taken now to shredding his stuffed toys. So he's discovered
those dogs.
That. Yeah. Well, I think ultimately, but I mean, yeah. when they discover it, that you don't just chew this thing, you can tear it.
Yes.
And I don't know if, you know, it's kind of a war of attrition between Mrs. O'Mara and myself. You know, who's going to address what appears to be new fallen snow all over the flipping living room? I'm not sure.
I think
that,
the recent president, the one with the most pets, it was John F. Kennedy, and it goes with your theory of having
with
kids.
With Caroline and John, yeah. John.
Yep, but listen to this. John. They had a poodle named Golly, a Welsh Terrier named Charlie, Tom Kitten, who was a cat, Robin the Canary, Blue Ball and Mary Bell, a parakeets, ducks, a pony named Macaroni, a pony named Tex, a pony named Leprechaun, a Doberman Pinscher named Moe, hamsters named Billy and Debbie, a dog named Pushinka that was a gift from Khrushchev, a wolf dog mix, a German shepherd named Clipper. They had offsprings. They had puppies while in the White House. They also had a rabbit named Zsa Zsa and a horse named Sardar, all living at the White House at one time.
Mm.
That's a lot
I'm
of animals.
I'm trying to think if I've got this story right, but I was raised in Connecticut, and it was right next door to Rhode Island.
Salute to the great Thank state you. Of Connecticut.
Yes.
Anywho, I'm not telling the story now.
No, come on.
My mom and dad, right next to it was Rhode Island, and they got invited to go on a sailboat in the harbor near where I think one of the Kennedy homes was. That's the way the story goes, and it was after he had been assassinated, and they saw Caroline on the horse.
Yeah,
that,
really?
Because apparently she rode her pony right by and she said, and my mom's saying it was very emotional when they saw from a distance this child yeah. who had lost her father. So wow. it's kind of interesting, you know. And I was going to tell that very deep story before, you know.
What makes you think the clap wasn't a clap of empathy?
Yeah, whatever. Is that it for the pets?
So watch out. We have to see if they're going to come back. There was a
I
shot on
they
CNN
come back.
Yesterday.
I'd like to know the severity. Do we know the severity of the bite?
Well, it did not break skin. There was no blood. But yesterday, CNN had a shot of an empty dog bed in the White House. And a lot of people said, yes, empty.
What's more embarrassing, the bite or a dump in the Oval Office?
Well, it depends on who did it.
I can tell you what's more sad. What's more sad is Frankie's mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What's the matter?
Because he's, meth mouth. Maybe on the bonus show, I'll show you Frankie's meth mouth.
I would like that.
It's sad. Is it? Nothing we can do about it. I mean, it's just he loses his teeth.
Yeah.
He loses his teeth. He's got meth mouth.
But to be fair, Mike, he won't be shredding any stuffed animals.
He won't, no.
He can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he couldn't shred marshmallow fluff. But anyway, we got to take a break, and we'll come back with the digital dumpster, which I'm still having trouble with. So, we might have to change that.
Mm. We'll see.
If I'm going to embarrass myself in front of dude, you're going to have to change your thing, too.
All right.
I know you won't unless I make you. We'll take a break. Yes, I'm Matt Petty. We'll be right back.
Hey, humans, it's me again, Winslow, the Boston Terrier. One of the worst things about being a dog is that I can't talk. It's wicked hard. Not only does it make it impossible to ask for treats, it also prevents me from being a TMOS talking head. Imagine how fun it would be to sit down on a Friday morning, hop on your Zoom, and shoot the with TMOS. That would be a wicked pisser. I can't do that because I'm a dog, but you can. Just email your info to rob@michaelmerrisshow.com with your contact info and why he should choose you. And if you're wondering how a dog that can't talk can voice a promo, don't overthink it, okay? Woof.
Thank you, Winslow. Appreciate that. I want to tell you about Sleep Number. I've been telling you about this for a long time. You are going to love it if you dive in and make the commitment to better sleep. According to the CDC, 1 in 3 American adults state they are not getting sufficient sleep on a regular basis. I was channeling Bill Clinton there. Yeah. You are not getting sufficient sleep on a regular basis.
So, how's the aquarium, Bill?
No, it's fine. Come on over. I'll let it out. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because a good night's rest helps boost immunity, improve recovery, and increase energy. Ba-da-ba! That's why you need Sleep Number, and this is amazing. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year based on internal analysis of sleep sessions. And since the pandemic began, Sleep IQ sleepers have gained an average of 53 hours of restful sleep compared to last year. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. I have loved this product since the first time I put my behind on it. A great day starts the night before. I really want you to check it out. My Sleep Number setting, I told you, it's now a 65. You changed it.
I update. So I listen. I listen.
It's just the best. Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed designed to make life-changing differences to your health and wellness. From $9.99 only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Just make sure they know, please, we'll do it live, that Mike O'Mara sent you. Please do that. And now let me get the thing open here, right there.
Oh, open the dumpster.
The big thing, the dumpster.
Mike, 145 yes. years ago this very day would be March 10th, 1876. Do you know what happened?
Let me see. No, I'm not going to make a joke. Hold on a second.
Oh, it's you know what? That is kismet. After he takes the call, I'll tell you why.
It's perfect.
Yes.
Oh, is somebody calling me to tell me that? Okay. Oh, there we go. All right. I don't have a joke.
Hello. Today is the 145th anniversary of Alexander Graham Bell making the first telephone call.
Hey, baby, I'm your telephone man.
How about that? And by the way, that runs through. I have a phone that runs through my computers and my iPad. Everything rings.
Sure.
When I get a phone call. Perhaps I should adjust that.
Am I the only person in the Mike O'Mara show fold that still has a landline?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have a landline. I haven't had one for years.
I have it for a reason, is that I have spotty cell reception in my office at home, and so if I ever have to do a business call, I want to have a landline so I have a solid connection to make
that
call.
And be honest, you're afraid if you take a fall.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But also, originally I said to Carrie, we can't get rid of it because I want to have a telephone in case of a power outage. And she said, okay. But then what she didn't tell me is she switched to an internet phone provider. So if there's a power outage, I don't have a landline.
Hold on just a second. Now it's my wife.
Right. Trickery, Oscar. There was no free play.
Hello, we are taping. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I know you are. I was listening. So every time you get a phone call, the phone rings. So I thought I'd give you a phone call and tell you that I love you.
Oh, that's
very nice. Mm-hmm. You know what? How can I react to that with anything other than unbridled gratitude and joy?
Good day.
Thank you very much, and you do the very same. That's very sweet. Love you, sweetie. Bye.
You needed that, Mike. Yeah. You needed that.
And yet not a word from your Oscar.
And no, not a word from the doctor's office, which is the I want. But that's better than any doctor's office calling. He lied. All right, go ahead, Rob.
So, Mike, a lady in North Carolina, she's a little bit older. She wanted to know who her dad was because she was adopted. So she went to one of those services and did a search.
All right.
And the service got back to her and said, we found your dad. We'll just tell you his name. And she said, oh, he must be famous. And she did a little research and she found out, hey, and this is sort of a local thing. Her dad lived in Bethesda.
Ooh.
And he's still, as far as they know, on the FBI's most wanted list because he killed his mom, his wife, and two of her brothers. Here's her finding out that her father was a mass murderer. It was absolutely a shock and a surprise.
Okay, I found your father. All I'm going to do is give you his name. I said, so, well, is it someone famous? And she said, yeah. And I thought, of course my father's a murderer.
Whereabouts still unknown since 1976.
Boy, I mean, that would be a giant step backwards for people that want to do that. Yeah. I mean, but,
right.
I mean, the odds are astronomical, but I mean, wow, how horrific would that be?
I'd rather not know.
And why does she sound so happy?
That's an advertisement for that, right?
Why does she sound so happy? That's what I want to know about.
Look who her father is. That was so cruel. I was so unfair. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Actually, she's probably the luckiest person in the family.
Last worded me again. You last worded me again. There you go. You're doing it. You're doing it. Yeah, it's a dude thing today. I don't know what's good. Go ahead. Go. Just go. Go do your thing.
Mike, they rated the...
I would love you not to last word me and press the right button sometimes. That's what I would love. That would make me so
I'd love
very
that
happy.
Too. I would love I to hit would. The right button.
I know. I know. But you prioritize things. You never change. You'll never, ever, ever change.
Like, remember that call,
how we doing,
Carla?
How we doing on guests?
So beautiful.
Actually, there's a couple in the offing right
in
now.
In the hopper.
Yeah.
In the hopper.
Yeah.
Good. Hopper. Great
all
to
right.
hear.
Mike, they rated yes. the most memorable advertising jingles. And I love that because the fact that they lick into your head. Music is a great way to remember something. And I like these. The most memorable jingle, number three. I think this is one you reference sometimes. Ricola.
Ricola. Ricola.
10 out of
earworm.
10.
Instant. Instant earworm.
You can't. Absolutely. You can't get rid of it. Number two, this is a recent one, but also one that I think sticks pretty good. I'm loving it. When you start to
McDonald's.
Get into the pop culture, yeah, you get into the pop mm-hmm. culture, like you can actually parody that. It's right in your head. And this one is a modern version of a classic that will never, ever go away.
Nationwide is on your side.
I mean, you can't beat that one. You can't beat that
no.
one.
Brad no, Paisley. And they're iconic that is. If they're good. And they can be crappy, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The chimney sweep one that you play all the time.
It stays with us. It really does.
Right?
Yeah. The carpet absolutely. Cleaning.
I mean, all you have to do is have the right concept, and it doesn't have to be researched or anything. Mm. You get lucky with it, it'll stick on. By the way, one of the things for these giant insurance companies like Geico and stuff, I think it's almost too much advertising. I think it's something, and I'm not talking about buying advertising because frequency is the key to making
yes,
advertising
right.
work. I'm saturation. Talking about too many different
the
types
concepts.
Of thing. The get-go, the jokes, it's all over the place, and it doesn't have that singular. You look at a company like we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, right?
Right.
That,
yes.
That type of thing. What's
what about
the Carvel,
the thing, that's Farmers Insurance.
Farmers Insurance.
Farmers
yes.
Insurance.
Yes, yes,
yes, absolutely. Very good.
What about the whale one?
Oh, Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale, you're participating. Fudgy the Whale. Well, they didn't have a jingle, though, did they?
I thought
no.
they had a jingle, no?
They did not, no. Mm-mm.
No, they just had Tom Carvel, who's now, you know, worm food. You know, now he's turning into soft serve in the ground right now. Visit your participating Carvel ice cream store and get Fudgy the Whale. You know? Or as one of the great lines from our friend Patton Oswalt said, during St. Patrick's Day, they would just turn like Fudgy the Whale upside down and turn it into a leprechaun with like weird legs like Patio Cripply. Jesus, that's funny.
But it is. That was so
that.
Genuinely true that the tie cake for Father's Day was just inverted Fudgy the Whale. That's all
exactly.
it was. And that's
yeah.
what they would do. All right, let's mm-hmm. close with this, Mike. Everyone can be famous for 10 minutes on TikTok. Here's an Asian piano player that has found tapes of cats and monkeys making their sounds and scoring them to piano. I've put together a small medley for you. We have the sad cat, the waltz cat, and the monkey tune.
Is this happening live?
He had a tape of a cat that he scored the music to.
Oh, okay, okay.
The monkey's great.
That's a real monkey?
Yep.
He's just playing
and he's
along
looking,
to
and
it.
He's now he's currently looking for a cow that will say "Nationwide is on your side."
On your side.
That's your digital dumpster.
Oh, I didn't
close
have
it up.
Open.
Close
Hold
it up.
A second.
Please
that
close it up.
Me by surprise, I'm terribly sorry.
That's right. Don't let any of the audio out of the digital dumpster.
Right,
there,
dumpster.
Close it and lock it.
We got that. Thank you. Best ever. We got to take a break. We will be back with a brand new show.
Dude
tomorrow.
Was great.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
What's that?
Dude was
great.
Yes.
Yeah, the rest of it, big pile of warm spit, but happens occasionally. We'll see you next time, everybody. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Barra saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Barra Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelBarraShow.com.
Michael Barra, Radio Entertainment.
Ooh, that's a bingo.